The Lord be with you. A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Luke. Jesus said to his disciples, "A rich man had a steward who was reported to him for squandering his property. He summoned him and said, 'What is this I hear about you? Prepare a full account of your stewardship, because you can no longer be my steward.' The steward said to himself, 'What shall I do now that my master is taking the position of steward away from me? I am not strong enough to dig, and I am ashamed to beg. I know what I shall do when I am removed from the stewardship. They may welcome me into their homes.' He called in his master's debtors one by one. To the first he said, 'How much do you owe my master?' He replied, 100 measures of olive oil. He said to him, 'Here is your promissory note. Sit down and quickly write one for 50. Then to another the steward said, "And you, how much do you owe?" He replied, 100 cores of wheat. The steward said to him, "Here is your promissory note. Write one for 80. And the master commended that dishonest steward for acting prudently. For the children of this world are more prudent in dealing with their own generation than are the children of light. I tell you, make friends for yourselves with dishonest wealth, so that when it fails, you will be welcomed into eternal dwellings. The person who is trustworthy in very small matters is also trustworthy in great ones. And the person who is dishonest in very small matters is also dishonest in great ones. If therefore you are not trustworthy with dishonest wealth, who will trust you with true wealth? If you are not trustworthy with what belongs to another, who will give you what is yours? No servant can serve two masters. He will either hate one and love the other, or be devoted to one and despise the other. You cannot serve both God and mammon." The Gospel of the Lord. James Buchanan was President of the United States from 1857 to 1861. He had the best credentials of any person who ever held the office. He began as a state legislator in Pennsylvania, served his state in both the House and the Senate, was ambassador to both Russia and England, and was Secretary of State. He was known as a man of moderation and had a personal political philosophy I at least find modest and sensible. Yet his administration was so bad that he has sometimes been considered a traitor. He was not. His problem was not lack of goodwill or talent, but a major misconception. He believed that the problems before the Civil War could have been managed by usual means. Perhaps reform was necessary, but the situation could have been maintained. Yet, his was a time for revolution, not reform. And so, as his successor Abraham Lincoln remarked, war came. Luke tells us this today as well. Meeting Jesus always creates a crisis. It always demands a conscious decision. This is true both for individuals and for a community. The parable of the incompetent steward is a hidden Lucan masterpiece. The steward was essentially a financial manager responsible for the daily operations of an estate or business. This man obviously was not very good at it. Yet notice how he deals with a crisis. He immediately takes control of the situation and uses his authority, while he still has it, to prepare a future for himself. Master does not condemn him for it. Indeed, he seems to wish that he had demonstrated this kind of daring and initiative when he was his manager. Yet Luke's observation is very perceptive. Managing day-to-day operations requires a different set of skills than leading in a crisis. Daring, creativity, indeed a certain ruthlessness, are not required when everything is going well, but are needed when something has to be changed. Disorganize to reorganize, to use the language of community organizing. The gospel today began with Jesus addressing his disciples. This is for everyone. Everyone needs to know that having met Jesus, our lives are changed forever. The foundations have been broken, and we must build something new. This will affect every part of our lives, but it will be clearest in what we do with the material world. Indeed, bluntly, how we use our money. Luke's realism should come as no surprise to us. He has already told us that life is more than food and the body more than clothing, and that he has come to set the world on fire with its severe consequences. Knowing Jesus is an upheaval, but how do we put it in dollars and cents? There are several principles we could evoke, and we did this last year when Monsignor and I discussed Catholic social teachings. But instead, let me tell you about a man I knew. Samuel Abom was a pharmacist in Bamenda, Cameroon. His position would have allowed him to amass a great fortune. And indeed, he was able to comfortably provide for his large family, especially by giving them a good education. When he died a few years ago, there was a great and wide outpouring of grief. His web remembrance page had over 23,000 views and almost as many posts. Most of them were personal remembrances of kindness. He had very flexible terms for extended credit. Sometimes the credit extended beyond the life of the people. And there were people who literally owed their lives to his generosity. He was also a good judge of talent and financed the education of numerous young people. There were over 2,000 people at his funeral. Testimony in itself. But most significant to me was a story I heard from his daughter. Two men came up to the family at the funeral obviously in great turmoil. There was great sadness. They had flown in from Europe to attend the funeral and said that everything they had accomplished in life was because of Dr. Abam's generosity. Neither she nor anyone else in the family even knew their names. To quote from St. Matthew, "But when you give alms, do not let your left hand know what your right is doing, so that your almsgiving may be secret, and your Father who sees in secret will repay you." It has been said that he who dies with the most toys wins. This is very foolish. We see in the father's repayment of Samuel Abom what winning is. He who has formed the deepest relationships has begun heaven here and now. This is true for individuals, and it is also true for parishes. Maintenance and relationships are terms of art in organizing. A maintenance organization is one that keeps itself going with as few disturbances as possible. It is concerned with clear structures, well-defined hierarchies, and indeed maintenance in the literal sense. These are not unimportant, but if it is the motivating factor for a parish, you have James Buchanan for your pastor, and will look only, to use the terms of today's gospel, at small matters. And perhaps the clock is ticking, and it won't be for very long. We are called as Christians to deal with great ones. For a parish to truly be Catholic, it must show the presence of Jesus. That is our great calling, and requires that we organize ourselves around relationships with Jesus and each other. These must be developed at the same time, and the key is the Eucharist. Without the Mass, we may become many things, some good, but nothing great. As we see in the papacy of Pope Francis, there may be a lack of clear definition of roles and rules, but a greater sense of participation and belonging when our emphasis shifts to relationships. As we work hard to maintain our church building, let us ask ourselves what we are willing to do to deepen the relationships among us. We may receive a plaque for the former, but we will receive the foretaste of heaven for the latter.